In conjunction with Biz Talk Today TV and Crosscheck Media, welcome to an episode of Power Hour. I am your host, Todd Schoenberger, and I have a very special guest with us today. He is running for a seat in the House of Representatives. He is going to represent District 3 in the state of Maryland. Welcome to the program, Lieutenant Colonel Bernie Flowers.
Todd, how are you today?
Outstanding. I'm so happy you're with us today. I have so many things I want to cover, and I know that you have been working hard on this campaign. You have actually, you're one of the first filers. You were filing to run in District 3 when the current incumbent was there, but he has stepped away. And now you have over two dozen candidates on the Democrat and Republican side that are running here for this seat. But it looks like all systems go for you, Bernie. I have to ask you, what makes this moment right now that you're running, how are you going to win this campaign?
Todd, thank you for asking, and thank you for the opportunity. Bottom line is, our country is in trouble. We have an open border. We're $34 trillion in debt. And what people don't understand is that's $364,000 per taxpaying citizen. Most people don't understand that they're carrying a mortgage on a house that they will never own. We've got to fix this. Our crime is out of control. Our education is failing us. And I have a very unique skill set. I've got 34 years behind the fence between 20 years in the Air Force and another 14 in the federal government at a very, very high level. And I just was working at DHS as their DOD liaison to Secretary Mayorkas, who just got impeached, by the way. And I realized that I was on the wrong side of this. I need to get on the side of the good guys. And I will fight. I will do what needs to be done. I have a commission that that I picked up in 1987 from the United States Air Force. And that commission is for life. And I'm here to defend this country.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. First of all, thank you for your service, being ex-military. I can't thank you enough for that. And securing our freedoms here in the United States. But you and I work together at USAA. USAA is a Fortune 100 financial company. You know, we cater to the military and their families. There were so many things that we had to cover at USAA. So it wasn't that you were one-dimensional, you're multidimensional. You know, many aspects of that sector. And I know fiscal responsibility, you brought it up at the start here, that it's very important to you. Let's break that down a little bit, because you have a number of concerns right now. You brought up some figures. Clearly, it's going to impact Marylanders, but also Americans, because there's so many things that we need to worry about. With you in the House of Representatives, what do you plan on doing to actually help curb this spending that's out of control right now?
Well, first of all, as a military guy, as a guy who's got a financial background, you know, they won't admit this, but we're talking about $200 billion that we sent over to the Ukraine. I got a real problem with that. And here we are in Baltimore. I'm 20 minutes outside of Baltimore in Howard County, and we're spending $22,000, over $22,000 per student in the education business. So kids are graduating, or better yet, socially promoted, and they're not able to join the economy. A lot of them can't read and write, but they're pushed through the system. So if you've ever driven through Baltimore, you'll find that, you know, you got squeegee kids out here accosting people. Someone got shot last year. And the bottom line is that our government should be taking care of America first. I'm an America first candidate. And we've got a lot of things we need to fix. So with that said, let's throttle back on some of these foreign wars and all the money that we're sending over to Ukraine and Gaza and all that sort of stuff. I don't want to see anybody die, but we are not the world's police. And we can cut back on that. We can spend some money on our own infrastructure. For example, here in Maryland, we're talking about using electric cars. We had a mandate by 2035, all cars sold in Maryland should be electric. Well, the problem is we produce 1% of the lithium in the world. We've got a lithium mine that we found just recently in, I believe, Nevada, but it won't be online for another 10 years. And with that said, we don't have enough lithium that's required for electric cars in order to maintain our industries. So with that said, we put ourselves in a situation, we're right back in the business of making war on people for resources. Especially here, we got a 200-year supply of oil in this country. We should be totally self-sufficient, not getting oil from or lithium from other countries. We have the capability to not need to go to war at all. And I, having been to war, I wouldn't wish that on anyone's child. So I don't know what's going on, but I intend to fix it.
All right, I like that a lot. Well, you mentioned the money that we are sending to Ukraine for them in their fight against Russia. We just recently had Congress approve the $95 billion package. It's actually split amongst Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, which
Yeah.
is curious because they're not at war right now. So it
That's
does make you
correct.
wonder what's happening there. With that said, though, do you feel that we have a place in the world to do something? I mean, whether we get involved on the obviously on the combat side, which we do not want, or on the monetary side, should we be involved in other ways rather than us just sending money? What do you think?
We are far too involved and engaged in other people's issues, as far as I am concerned. No, I am not an isolationist. I spent a lot of time overseas. I lived in Europe for 3 years. I've been all over the Middle East. I've been all over Asia. And I understand that there is a need for America to participate, but we cannot be the world's global policeman. And bottom line is, a lot of the things that are happening here are their wars that we actually maybe helped create. If we would stay out of other people's business, maybe we would be better off here at home. There's a book which is a favorite of mine. It's called War is a Racket by General Smedley Butler. He retired in the first of right around 19, right around the First World War, and he retired as America's most decorated soldier, a Marine. And his big deal was the wars down in Central America, the banana republics, what we and we created a lot of that for big business. So the bottom line is there's a lot going on. We can't fix everybody else's problems. We can't be strong unless we fix our own problems first. And we've got all the resources, we've got all the smarts and everything that we need to be self-sufficient. And then we can help people, but we got to take care of our own people first. And that's what I'm all about, America first.
I like that a lot. So let's pivot away from this and start talking. You brought up about crime, high crime taking place coast to coast. You're looking to represent parts of Maryland which are close to really bump into Baltimore, which is Howard County, parts of Anne Arundel County, and I believe it's there's a third county, Carroll County,
Carroll County,
that's
a little bit of
there.
Carroll County.
Right. So and then. It's obvious that the overflow of the crime that's taken place in downtown Baltimore is spreading out to those counties. We have heard numerous news stories of just violent attacks that are taking place. How will you help curb the crime epidemic that's taken place in this country?
Well, first of all, do you remember not long ago, Black Lives Matter sponsored Defund the Police?
Yes.
So we have taken away a lot of resources that were available to our law enforcement officers, and we have defunded them. We've taken away millions of dollars, and we have basically made them out to be the bad guy. So morale is low. Recruiting for police officers is low, and you're not getting the quality folks that you need. I'm not trying to put them down. They're doing the very, very best that they can, but under the circumstances, these BLM people have demonized the police officers and the police force, and that's got to stop. Another thing is, we in Maryland seem to not be big advocates of self-defense, as in, a lot of people like to carry weapons to be able to. And most you'll find out that most gun crimes are carried out with people wearing unlicensed firearms. And I believe in, I own a gun myself. I own several. I love shooting, and I'm very, very proficient in my ability to carry a weapon. I have a weapons carry license. But the issue of the day is that we don't need to demonize guns. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. And we need to understand that. And we have a moral problem here in this country, and it needs to change, especially here in Maryland. And there are people on the Democrat side to think that we should take away guns. And I believe that when you take away guns, you don't give people the opportunity to defend themselves. So I am totally for funding police and helping people learn firearm safety so that they can protect themselves. I'm a big Second Amendment advocate, you might say.
Okay, I have to agree with that, and completely. I understand with Black Lives Matter, them getting involved with the defund the police. We didn't see it right away. We didn't see the impact of that immediately, but now you are seeing that. The police are just they're just not available. The morale is down, and then they have to go out and fight these crimes. Not to mention the fact when they do arrest someone, they go to court and the judge lets the defendant go out anyway. So,
Happens
you know,
all
it's
the
like, what's the
time.
point? Yeah,
There you
exactly. It
go.
does happen. And so I understand where you're going with this. I do need to ask you though, you know, you're running as a Republican. You're going to be, when you win this seat, you'll be highly influential, not just on the federal side, but at the state local level. If I'm a constituent, I have a problem. How do I reach you? Will you be accessible, or are you going to be like sometimes we hear about candidates when they win, they go to Washington and we never see them unless they're running again? Will you be available and accessible to your voters?
I will certainly be available and accessible to my voters. I mean, Washington, not that far away. So I intend to drive every day from my home here in Elkridge. But the bottom line is that, I believe in term limits, and I believe that I should be available to the people. And if they don't like what I'm doing, get rid of me. But right now, John Sarbanes, the 18-year incumbent, as I said before, 18 years in the seat. Before that, his father held a seat. It was hereditary, you might say. I don't believe in all that. I will be definitely available to the people, and you might call me a man of the people, but the issue of the day is I will be around. You can be assured of that, and I will be very, very vocal and very, very open to the people.
Well, you're bringing up about Paul Sarbanes stepping down, his father, or John Sarbanes, I'm sorry, who his father held that seat for 30 years, I believe, and then his son just took over. It was kind of interesting to see how all that, I mean, for decades, think about that, almost half a century, you have had a Sarbanes in that seat. That's incredible.
That's
With
unsat.
exactly, yeah, you would think that philosophy, I mean, it is a very blue area right now, and I know that it's difficult in the state of Maryland because most of Maryland is blue. So
Right.
you do have a bit of an uphill battle, but things are looking good for you. You mentioned about the idea on just to circle back with this on the term limits. And so with that, I mean, what do you think is because we're hearing are there should we impose age limits? You're hearing this with the current president right now with his age. Now, there are no term limits there. Well, there are two, but should there be age verification or age qualifications, I should say, for someone who to hold higher office?
I don't necessarily know of age qualifications, but I do know there should be, if a person is in a position like that, we should know a little bit about their medical history, and there should be an opportunity to let that person gracefully leave and be replaced, because clearly our president is suffering from, he's impaired. I'll put it to you that way. I don't see that he is the kind of guy that is in a position to lead us right now. And I think a lot of the problems that we have, especially foreign, are because our enemies don't respect him. They don't believe that he's a man of action. And but as far as term limits, I would love to see, three terms for a congressman like what I'm running for. I'm not going in there to stay like Nancy Pelosi for 30 years. No. I want to fix things and then make things right and move on. And as far as Senate, I think a senator should stay maybe two terms. That would be 12 years, and that's it. But this concept of people going in and making themselves lifetime dictators and lifetime, legislators, that is absolutely wrong and is not good for our country. And I'd like to see it stop.
I like that a lot. Okay, well, listen, we're going to hold it there on this block because I am going to ask Bernie when we come back in the next block about the border. And that is a clear issue. Running as a Republican, Republicans are really, really looking to use this as one of those arguments that's going to be really front and center as we go into November. But with me today, I have Lieutenant Colonel Bernie Flowers. He is running for District 3 in the House of Representatives for the state of Maryland. And we'll be right back after the break. Please stay with us.
Ready to up your game and learn more about the thrilling world of sports betting? Introducing Double Down with Breslow, the ultimate podcast about the business of sports gambling. Join me, James Breslow, and a long list of expert guests as we dive into the art and science of the sports betting industry, evolving regulations, technology enhancements, and the meteoric rise in the number of players makes this sector the fastest growing and most intriguing in the world. Unlock the business secrets from many of the industry's most recognizable C-suite executives, including famous odds makers and influencers. Every episode of Double Down with Breslow is packed with insider tips, deeply skilled analysis, and in-depth discussions. Don't miss out on the ultimate resource for mastering the business of sports betting. Listen to Double Down with Breslow on the Evergreen Podcast Network or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Double Down with Breslow, the business of sports betting podcast.
Welcome back to Power Hour. Well, with me today, I have Lieutenant Colonel Bernie Flowers, who is running for the House of Representatives. He's going to represent District 3 in the state of Maryland, which really covers the entire, all of Howard County, parts of Anne Arundel County, as well as Carroll County. And Bernie, when we left off in the last block, we were talking a lot about money and business and finance. Let's start talking about the border. This is a clear issue, and it just over, I think, the last 30 days, President Biden seems to be interested in taking care of the border. I think maybe somebody in his administration probably told him that there might be some issues there you might want to cover. You're running as a Republican. Republicans are clearly, this is going to be a front and center topic as we go into November, as even primary season. What are your thoughts? How do we secure the border?
Todd, thank you. Let me give you a little bit of my background and context before I start running my mouth. So my last job was as Secretary Mayorkas's DOD Northcom guy. I was on his senior staff, saw the man every day. I had access to everything, which meant that, you know, when we did the Afghan retrograde, we bought 85,000 Afghans here. Now, I'm not angry about that because most of those people would have been killed had they stayed where they were, and they were allies of us. However, we did this in a way that was unorganized. We didn't plan for it, and it was a crazy, chaotic mess, and I was right in the middle of it. I was the guy to make sure, my job was to make sure that DHS had everything they needed from DOD because they didn't have the budget and expertise to do this. And in the meantime, to bring all these people over, we're talking about $1,400 a day for 85,000 people. That's $119 million a day unbudgeted. And I found that to be just something that was unacceptable to me. Also, understand that while this was going on, we were under COVID rules. So DHS was mostly working from home. So we had to call in a bunch of people from DOD to come and cover and do the expertise that was necessary to make this thing happen, to get all these people settled. Now, we were talking about the idea that a lot of these people were vetted for medical issues, security issues, that sort of thing. Vetting 85,000 people over the course of a year, that's virtually impossible. We said that we did, but I got my doubts, and I was there. So that was poor planning on our part. Another thing is people forget that 18,000 Haitians showed up under a bridge at the border station in El Paso, Texas in 2021. Right during the time that we were doing this Afghan thing. So why are we all these people coming across the border? I would venture to say that the DHS has no clue where most of these 18,000 Haitians went. I could tell you some other stories, but a lot of that happened. And in the meantime, we were basically defunding Customs and Border Patrol. We were defunding ICE. So at the time I left, and that was 2022, January 2022, we had brought in about 3 million undocumented migrants. That's a better word. That's a lot of people, that basically were unvetted. They could have had AIDS. They could have had COVID. They could have had all manner of diseases. A lot of these people were strictly unskilled. So most of those people, we have no idea where they are. And we didn't have an opportunity to vet them. And, you know, so the catch and release program, I'm sure you've heard of. But the bottom line is we need to secure our border. A country with no border is no country. And I remember when President Trump asked for $5 billion to build his wall, Why is it we can't give him $5 billion to build his wall, but we can send $200 billion over to the Ukraine to defend them? Why is it Joe Biden has a wall around his house? He says walls don't work. So I saw it up close. And again, I found myself very, very upset. And I felt like I was on the wrong side of this. And I felt like, personally, as a military officer, I felt that I need to do something about this after my 21 years on active duty.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand. I could feel the passion, Bernie, about this subject because and I think a lot of Americans are feeling it. But it's not that front page. It is a front page story, but it's under the fold only because Americans aren't impacted directly, or maybe they are, but they're not feeling it as far as money being taken out of their wallets to really worry about this issue. And I guess the going forward, though, you're right. Building that wall, the disorganization, but we've always had immigrants. We've always had, this is a country of immigrants, but
We're
there
all
seem,
immigrants.
right. There seemed to be an organized approach. I guess going forward, though, what exactly can the president do? I mean, other than sending in the National Guard to cover every 5 feet of that border, what exactly can he do to help stop this epidemic of all these people coming into the country?
You know, there's an old saying, how do you get out of a hole? Well, the first thing you do is stop digging. So we need to plug that border up right now, like yesterday. And there should be no unauthorized people coming through there. We should refund Customs and Border Patrol. We should refund ICE. We just hired 85,000 IRS agents and armed IRS agents, by the way, people don't realize. We don't need 85,000 IRS agents. We need 85,000 Customs and Border Patrol agents. And we need to find these folks and make sure that they get properly vetted. If they deserve asylum, I have no problem with the immigration process and the laws that need to be followed. But when people come across that are not following the law and they're not going through our processes, they're breaking the law and they need to go back home. I don't have anything against anybody, but we cannot be the world's police and we cannot support the whole world. Otherwise, we don't have a country. And there are people in this world that, or in this country, that are trying to bring as many people here. And there's even a theory that they're trying to bring them in to become voters. There are efforts in some of the sanctuary cities to give illegal, undocumented migrants the ability to vote. And if that happens, American citizens suffer. And I am not going to stand by and let that happen. And that's why I'm running.
That makes a lot of sense. And you are right. I mean, looking back, even when President Obama was in office, the feeling was they would give out Obama phones.
Right.
And then there was the fear that we would be able to vote via our phones. So here you're giving someone a free phone and you're telling them how to vote. And to quote Rush Limbaugh, you're always going to vote for Santa Claus. So I mean, you're given
I
something.
miss
He's
Rush.
it's true, and you're gonna and so you're right. If you have illegal immigrants coming in and they have the ability to vote, who you're gonna vote for if you're getting free money and free
There you
this and
go.
that? I mean, there's a variety of things. Let's pivot away from this discussion and talk directly about the election. You have the primary coming up on May 14th. You were, like I mentioned before, you're one of the early filers for this seat. Right now, what is going to separate you from the other Republican candidates just so you could get through that May 14th election?
Well, Todd, first, I was the first one to file. As I remember, I think it was the first week in October, 3rd or 4th or 5th. And John Sarbanes was still the guy. He was the incumbent. And, I was looking at it was going to be a David and Goliath situation, David and Goliath. And I wasn't scared, still ain't scared. And, but the bottom line, what makes me different is 34 years behind the fence. Everything America's asked me to do, I've done. I went to Iraq. I went to Afghanistan. I was in the Ukraine before it was cool in 2003, and I could tell you some stories about that as well. But the issue of the day is, I am a member of the Howard County Republican Central Committee. I have very close ties with the Anne Arundel County Republican Central Committee and also the Carroll County Republican Central Committee. These people are all friends of mine, and the rest of the candidates are folks that basically aren't particularly conservatives or strong Republicans. So I don't know where they're coming from. Maybe they're just trying to get their name out there. But I was here from day one, and I intend to win.
That's great. Yeah, and you are right. I mean, the environment in the state of Maryland could actually become a nationwide topic only because the balance of power is right there. You have so many people that are vacating their seats. Dutch Ruppersberger stepping down as well. You have obviously Sarbanes. So there are a number of key factors there. You are running it, like I said, as a Republican, very blue area. I believe it's only out of the eight representatives, seven are Democratic. So you do have a lot to go through. But I do understand that, I mean, you will be, obviously, you will be representing that District 3 very well. And all of the voters should be proud to have you represent them in Washington. But are you getting any national attention right now? Do you feel maybe companies that are nationwide are actually donating to your campaign to help put you on top as far as representing that district?
Well, we haven't really gotten that far yet. Everything's kind of local right now. But I will say that now that you're having me on, I'm getting my first national attention.
I love that. Well, that's right. Well, I know that everybody can actually go to it's Bernie. No, I'm sorry. It's flowersformaryland.com. Flowersformaryland.com. If you want to really take a look at everything that Bernie represents and his issues and what he has that's out there and how he's going to really represent District 3 in the right way, in the way that we need it to be, because not just representing Marylanders, but also all Americans. Let's talk about that just so before we close out the show. You're running for the House of Representatives. It's a huge responsibility. And with so many things that are taking place, you're running, you get past the May 14th primary, you have the general election coming up in November. You're going to get a lot of attention, Bernie. I mean, you get through May 14th, you're going to get a lot of attention, mainly because you have the former President Donald Trump looks like he's going to be representing the GOP this year or this election cycle. Do you work directly with the former president or maybe former members of the administration as far as helping get you over there? Or are you just staying focused on the state itself and just trying to keep out of the national spotlight?
I would like to have as much possible help as possible. I would love to have the national spotlight, but Mr. Trump's got his own fight and he's trying to win the entire country. So we're trying to hold our own here, but I would certainly love to have some help. If anybody has any concerns about who I am, check out my website. I've also got a book that I wrote called Black Values Matter. It talks about Baltimore and how to fix things in the inner city. You could apply it to any city, Atlanta, DC, New York, Detroit, whatever. The issue of the day is that we're just trying to fight the fight here. And anybody that wants to help us, please jump on the website at flowersformaryland.com. Again, flowersformaryland.com. We will take all the help that we can get. But we're here. We're not going to back down. We're just going to keep going forward. And the bottom line is that, you know, we really got a chance to win this thing because there's a lot of independents. There's a lot of Democrats that are tired of the status quo and they want change. And with my background, 34 years behind the fence and all the things I've done in the military and the federal government, I'm probably their best bet. And a lot of people are starting to pay attention. And I'm very, very proud of that.
Absolutely. And I got to say, I mean, everything you're representing is just fantastic, Bernie. And I know that we're pulling for you and Marylanders should too. I mean, this is it's an important election. You could be there representing them. And who knows where it goes from there, but there's so much at stake and it is critical. So yes, we do welcome the audience. Check out Flowers for Maryland. We will also have a link in our description that would take you directly to Bernie's website. You definitely want to check him out, see what he has to say and what he's going to be talking about once he does represent District 3. So many good things to look forward to. So Bernie, I got to thank you so much for joining us today on Power Hour. And I know we'll be following you as the campaign moves on. We would love to have you back after that primary victory.
I'd love to come back, Todd. You guys are encouraging, and I feel the power surging through the microphone.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. So on behalf of Lieutenant Colonel Bernie Flowers, I am Todd Schoenberger. Thank you once again for joining us today on Power Hour, and we hope to catch you next time. Take care.
Welcome, change agents, to your go-to place for stories that ignite your spirit, fuel your purpose, and connect us all. We believe in the incredible power of the human spirit, its boundless resilience, and the inspiration it brings to our lives. On the Driving Change podcast, we'll journey together through the extraordinary yet very relatable experiences of some of the most amazing people on earth. Our mission? That through these stories, we might just spark change within you and awaken a newfound motivation to harness your unique gifts to make a real difference in the world. So get ready to be inspired and join us on this incredible adventure. You can find the Driving Change podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you love listening to your favorite podcasts.